shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. My name is Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgren. With us this week is a returning guest, my doppelganger, and one of my very favorite people on this here planet. It's Jackie Hoffert.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, she's a comic, too.
Host of the Foxhole comedy show, which is, like, one of the most, like, amazing popular shows right now.
Thank you so much.
You're balling pretty hard, Jackie.
Thank you so much. I'm,
medium balling.
I'm a ball type person. No, I don't know. Thank you.
You're
Thanks.
Welcome.
Yeah. It's, I like it. I'm having fun.
Yeah, we can remark on a lot of your successes today, in mm-hmm. fact, because a lot of cool things have happened to you in the last little
Let's
while.
Let's blow smoke up her ass for now.
Thank you so much. Yes. I'm into this.
Shall we just, let's catch up with Jackie first thing, hey? And
sure.
Then we can talk about her own bullshit.
Sure.
Cool.
We Jackie. Can integrate your bullshit into my bullshit.
Jackie.
My bullshit recognizes your bullshit.
Namaste. Yeah. So, a couple big things. One of them, let's go reverse cron.
Yeah, since we last spoke,
you got a full-time jorb.
I did.
A jorb.
I feel like I won the nonprofit lottery, which is that I've got
So you will make very little money.
Well, a living wage.
Nice.
That ain't fucking nothing.
That
in
ain't
this
nothing
town,
in this so. Town. Exactly. Yeah, no, I'm being well compensated. Or I will be in a little while once the checks start rolling in.
The check is in the mail.
Yeah, pretty much. I got a full-time permanent job, which is exactly what I was looking for at the exact right moment in my life. So,
nice. Amazing.
Yeah,
get
so I'm
those
super,
benefits.
I'm super excited about the bennies and just about working in a place where I like the people and think I have a good chance to do fun work. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I'm really excited.
And you get to still be, like, creative in it, too.
Totally. Yeah, it's all the things I was looking for. Just at the right time. Basically, keeping it in perspective, this job I just got beginning of February, but a year ago, January, I interviewed to be a delivery driver for Railtown Catering, and they didn't call me back.
Mm-hmm. So, like, oh my god.
And now I'm the director of communications for the PUSH International Performing
Fucking
Arts
a.
Festival.
Okay, so cool.
For a half second, I heard PUSH.
Yeah.
International Film Festival.
No. Thankfully, no. No, I'm out of the film fest world too for now, although there's some overlap. But yeah, it's a performing arts festival.
Cool.
So it's pretty cool. And I think, yeah, the nice thing is that the people are really great, and also the vibe is really kind of do what makes sense, like be creative, like make it work
nice.
As long as we can pay for it, like, yeah, have fun and do whatever, which is great. And
I
love to
Tim Gunn principles.
I love to you know, like, a big part of the job is making the program guide, but also, like, making every literal material that has to do with PUSH. And so it'll be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big job. I'm, like, a little scared, but in a good way.
So, you are so ready for it, though.
I actually do feel that. It's really... I think that getting this job was the first time I really showed up in an interview and said, actually, I'm just trying to channel the confidence I might have if I were a dude. Because
you're like, I know that I can do this and I'm good at it.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to,
I think,
like,
I really can do this, actually. And even though, because all of my experience sort of leads up to it. So it's not like I'm stepping into a different place of doing the same job. It's definitely a step up in terms of responsibility and scope and scale. But I was like, I got this.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty exciting. And also massage therapy and dental, all the things.
Get them teeth fixed.
I know. I'm already like, how many months until I can deal with this upper weird pain? And anyway, 3 months is the answer. Actually, no, I'm even luckier in that way, which is that my wife's job has benefits, and they kick in like a month. So
nice
coordination,
double
benefits.
Mm.
That's so sad. Well, you let slip the other big important thing that's happened since you were last here. You got hitched.
I know. Aww. I'm just like life achievement checkmark mania.
Life goals, wife goals. And prior to that, you took over at the Foxhole.
It's true. Yeah.
So three big honking things.
Three big things, yeah.
In the last 5 months?
Kind of, yeah. I'd say so, since September.
Holy shitsky.
Yeah, and it's, what now, February?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A bit of time.
Yeah, things are coming together. Now if everything would just stay exactly the same.
Yes.
No.
Okay, good. No more changes.
Yeah, exactly. Also want a baby.
Yeah.
That's going to change things a lot.
That'll blow everything up, yeah.
I wish that life had, save points, like in a video game, where it's like, okay, great, I'm going to save to this, and then I can try that path, and then if it's not good, then I'll just, exit without saving and start them back at the same point.
I really like that. I really like that, life save points.
I love that. That was actually the beauty of when we got that little, miniaturized HDMI Nintendo game box. Every time I come here I talk about games. Is it you guys?
I don't think so.
It's not me. I guess it is me.
I think it's you.
It's me. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I just now I'm remembering that I was talking about Elton John and Nintendo last time I was here. But anyway, we got the Nintendo that was like the Super Mario and all the other things in one or whatever, the modern one. Not this year, but last year's version. And what's nice about it is that unlike the original game, you can save out. Like, you can be like, I'd like to stop here and come back here another time.
Mm-hmm.
Which was not possible in the old version. It's a nice feature. That being said, though, I kind of feel like a permanent job is that option. I mean, you have to fuck up really hard to get fired from a permanent job, and I think I'll be okay in that way.
That's sort of true, yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on the job, but I feel like any kind of public or nonprofit job, there's a lot of structures in place to stop you from getting fired.
Once
you pass probation.
It is and it isn't. I've seen people be shown the door before, but mm-hmm. It takes a while. You have to really stink up the joint, I think. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get a lot of chances when they probably should have been fired a long time ago, so you're probably fine.
I hope. I mean, yeah. I think that's I feel good about it. So I'm excited to walk to work. And yeah.
That'll be sick.
I know. Yeah, it's less than a 15-minute walk each way, so I have no more excuses. It takes longer to Evo to work than it does to walk. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I start properly. This week the office is closed because the festival was in January, and so we had a week off. And next Monday I start properly with no predecessor.
Mm-hmm.
So
then you just plan next year.
Just doing it, yeah. Cool. Well, there's a million people to meet, and I manage 16 people. I'm really, I'm nervous, but good
you
nervous.
You manage a whole team?
I manage a lot of people.
Oh, fun. I'm excited to hear more about this, as you get down the road, because, managing team stuff and, team dynamics is very interesting to me right now, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting too, even just the place I work. To me, it's kind of the perfect size of organization for what I've understood are my preferences in a work environment, which is that it's not so small that it's kind of impossible to do everything, mm-hmm. and it's not so big that it's also difficult to be flexible and nimble and do mm-hmm. make changes. So it's right in that middle size where, especially on the director level, you can really just be like, well, what if we did it this way, and then just do it that way.
And then you have a team to execute that vision.
Exactly. Yeah, I mostly manage people executing what I want, which is
enemies. I got goosebumps.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I think the challenge for me will be to keep my hands out of the design pie in a lot of ways, because I'm gonna want to be
sort of pick out those little design berries, ooh, it's hot.
I know,
but you know what might be really good? Exactly. Why don't you put a little nutmeg in this?
Exactly.
Fuck off, ma'am, sir. Whatever.
Exactly. So yeah, check in with me and 6 months and we'll see how it went, how it's been going, but yeah.
How it went.
Yeah.
It's not very optimistic, is it?
No, I mean, yeah, no.
The starting of the
starting
job.
Of the job. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yes.
Also I got married. Yeah. I eloped.
What was the decision-making process behind that?
Well, we got engaged less than a year after we met. So it was early.
That's
in terms,
very gay.
Yeah, I agree. yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm the kind of person, I don't know, I move very intuitively through the world, so.
That's also very gay.
It's also very gay, yeah. No, I don't know. I just, you know, we met on Tinder and...
Sorry, it's still funny.
Still very gay.
I mean, not so much, but
a little. I don't know. I feel like lesbo Tinder is like really easy.
So Tinder does have an option for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's binary, but, or at least when I was on, mm-hmm. which was now 3 years ago, but, yeah, totally. And so the field is much smaller and there's no dick pics. so yeah, we were like, her profile said like queer feminist weirdo. And I was like, yes. And then,
yeah. The rest is history.
The rest is history. I mean, it was a little more complicated than that, but basically, mm-hmm. yeah, we got along quickly and well. And then, I don't know, then sort of being engaged for a long time, I didn't have any, neither of us were really, like, in a hurry to be like, what's the wedding look like? Or what's going to happen with a wedding? And, like, what even is a wedding? And what do we even want? Mm-hmm. And we kind of decided that, like, being married is definitely something we both wanted, obviously, but the kind of experience of having a wedding seemed like there was not going to be a way that was going to be both affordable and enough of the things that we wanted. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of like, well, the being married is between us, so let's just go get hitched, like, on an island with a friend, like, with witnesses and an officiant, and just...
What island did you go to?
We went to Bowen Island.
Nice. Yeah. That's a convenient little...
It's very... Woman. Yeah, I mean...
So pretty.
Kind of what happened was we already had planned a trip to go to Bowen, and then we bolted on the elopement to the existing trip.
And how soon before doing it did you decide?
About... 6 weeks.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were
feels kinda... like the right amount of time to plan an elopement. 6 weeks. Exactly.
Yeah. We were basically like, cause the hierarchy is you just need that license, mm-hmm. which is easy enough to get. You go to London Drugs. And then the other one is.
That is the funniest part about it. Is it's getting true. A fucking marriage license at London Drugs.
I know, I love it. The worst part was, is that I went there. I forgot to bring any ID and stuff. Cause I think I had read that you can get around it or whatever, but didn't read it clearly enough. And so I get there, and it's true, you can get around it without bringing proper ID of both people, but you need to be able to say, like, your partner's middle name and city of birth, and it seems to me like that should be, like, the lowest threshold for getting married, is, like, literally knowing your partner's middle name and city of birth. But, like, Robin grew up in Florida, and so to be born, her parents, or her mom, you know, they went back to Canada, and I couldn't remember whether or not it was the same city where her mom currently lives or some other place. And so I was like, fuck, what is it? And I was like, I can't guess, because if I guess, I'm going to have to just, like, it's just going to be more paperwork and cost more time to get something changed later. And mm-hmm. But she was, like, currently working or something, or in a meeting, and so I, like, was standing there with the guy at London Drugs.
I swear I know this person. I
like, swear. We're really close. Like, I can tell you her, like... birthmarks, like, I know, like, I can tell you all about her family.
Tell you what her butt looks like.
I can tell you where she grew up, but, yeah, he didn't care. But anyway, so we got that, and then, we checked to make sure that the people that we would want as witnesses were available to come join us for a day that weekend, and, like, part of what was great about Bowen is that those people can come in and go out on the same day, so we didn't want to have to make anyone spend any money, really, to mm-hmm. to help us with this. And then we found an officiant, which was, like, a little harder than we thought, but in the end was fine.
All the wedding officiants probably live on Bowen Island anyway.
There's a couple, but yeah, I had actually no idea how it worked, but it's basically like you register to become one, but it's not, like, infinite. There has to be, like, a vacancy mm-hmm. of
yeah, you have to, like, wait for someone to die or retire
in your area, yeah. like in your neighborhood. It's really weird. Yeah,
hot old commissioners in your area.
I would love to be a part-time commissioner. Are yeah. you kidding me?
My be so dad fun. Wanted to do it. I think he'd be so good.
He would
at
be
it.
So good.
How great would my dad be
heartfelt
at that?
And nice.
Aww. So sweet.
That would be a good change-up too, because I don't know a lot of male wedding commissioners, like officiants. It's all, like, older ladies.
Yeah, we had an old lady. We had a lady that we booked simply because her name was Gaeta.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, I did get a gay vibe off of ours, although I don't know if that's true or not, but she was everything we needed. She was, like, punctual, showed up on time, like...
Those are the same things.
I suppose, yeah. Yeah. But
she
I mean,
was punctual,
she
showed up on time, she didn't make us wait.
Yeah.
All the things you want.
Yeah. She caught the correct ferry. She, like, disappeared when we were done. It was great.
She, like, okay, now I have to watch you two consummate it.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's not real.
I when I played cello for a lot more weddings, I kept seeing the same officiant at, like, everything, and I'm like, wow, is she just, like, the best?
Her name starts with an A.
Her name starts with an A. It's at the top of the list, so maybe we'll just book her.
Amazing. Yeah, it was a little challenging. We had to get someone from North Van to come over, but it was not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's pretty simple for them to just hop on over.
Exactly. So,
come on over.
Yeah, so then, and we kept it a secret from our families because part of eloping is saying we eloped. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's done already.
And so that nobody's like, Bo, but I want the chance to try to come and do a thing with you.
Exactly.
Let us just plan it and pay for it and do it however we want.
That would have been like, something else. But, yeah. Like, basically, yeah. That was never part of the... Other people paying was never going to be part of the thing.
And yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, but I think we wanted to avoid the kind of sort of drama. Like, both of our family, parents and extended families live in other places that are not here. So, and that are not the same. So it just felt like it was going to be complicated.
Nothing
no matter
would
what
accommodate
we did.
One over the other. And yeah. Then like, yeah, it's unfair.
That being said, like, we're still going to have a thing this summer, but like, it's a party. It's not a wedding. So anyway,
just a love party.
Yeah. But that's the thing, you know, for family, like that's where we're like, our families have joined, like meet each other properly. And it's the stakes are way lower because we don't have to do especially all the stuff that I think Robin would have hated. Like, I love being the center of attention, but Robin hates it. So, we can like play the video that I took. It's very terrible of us doing our vows in the background, like subtitles. And Robin can just sort of like be walking around chatting with people.
That's nice.
And she is like a really shy little angel. Hey,
I mean, it's so funny. I mean, I guess it's because I'm with her all the time, basically. I don't think of her as shy because she's just like her normal, like, out loud, regular self with me. But around other people, she locks up a little bit. So I guess that's shy. I don't know. Yeah.
Fair.
She's pretty introverted. She
I like that.
Likes
though.
To think a lot about what she's saying before she says it, which is great inspiration for me.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
There should be one person who really wants to be the star.
It's kind true.
Of, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
And I feel like for all of us, it's us.
Yep.
That's like a legit like psychological theory, though. I remember a friend of mine who was doing her master's a while ago sending me a video from some psychologist lady who does a vlog about it's okay to recognize that dynamic in relationships and, and use the language of knowing how that works to help things along.
Pete Holmes talk about that a lot, like with him and his, and not that I listen to his podcast anymore, but with his partner.
Yeah, the look at me versus the I see you person, which I think is a cute way to put it, where there's like, look at me, and then the other person's like, I do, I see you, very affirming.
Yeah. But the debaters recently had Sophie Buttle and Mace Galoney on, who are a real life couple in comedy, and they're very, very adorable and young. And their debate was, do relationships need a boss? Guess who was advocating for what side? Sophie's like, yes, it needs a boss, and I am the boss. And Mace's response to that is, Sophie's not the boss of me. If she was, how come she gives me an allowance that I could spend on anything I want?
So great.
That's a good format. I like it.
Yeah, it was really adorable. I haven't listened to a lot of the debaters, but I listened to that one special. And it cracked me the hell up. The two of them are very sweet.
I feel like I always want to watch or listen to the debaters, but then I only ever encounter it by accident on the radio. Like, just, I don't know, flipping through. And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's...
Friend of mine.
Or
a person I know.
Sort of acquaintance of mine.
Mm-hmm. Someone I wish was my friend, and sometimes I tell people they are.
Yeah.
That's my friend Sophie Buttle.
Someone
like,
I'm friendly
I don't know
with.
You.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I know your name. It's fine.
I've like, re-upped my claim on, like, being Fatima's friend even more, because I'm like, my friend's sister's engaged to Idris Elba.
Wow, it's so
that
good.
Is, like, we've only hung out a couple times, but I think we're friends.
Yeah, we're basically all family now.
Yeah.
It's like, so strange that that happened.
Yes.
That someone
Poor
we know
Kevin.
Has a sister that is marrying Idris Elba.
I know.
It's so funny, but for poor Kevin. Yes, exactly. Yeah, Fatima is married to Kevin Banner, and he is a really nice guy, and he's a really funny comedian. But he's not Idris Elba. Like, he's not going to be playing...
Idris Elba as Idris Elba. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, boy, come on. Boy. Yeah, you're not going to see Kevin playing Hemidoll in the next Thor movie or something, although I fucking pay to see that. Actually. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, buddy, you think you're gonna walk down Rainbow Road here? I'll powerbomb you through the thing. That's my Kevin Banner impression.
Interesting.
Gosh.
I just gave him like a Bob and Doug McKenzie thing and then threw in a wrestling reference. Good enough.
I mean, that.
It worked for me.
I'll be like, ticks, yeah, no, right ticks, about there. I killed a deer.
Ticks all the boxes. There you go.
Yeah.
I was at a little house party last night and we were playing some music and I really love my friend and her partner very much. And he's just like, he's such a supportive partner where it's like, she's playing music and he's like recording it perfectly and like taking pictures of her. I'm just like, I want someone to do that for me so I have nice pictures of me playing music.
Aaron and Graham have.
I was not going to name them, but that's sorry. Okay.
I adore the both of them and I really like. I wouldn't say I'm envious of their relationship, but they have a pretty good model of like a decent heterosexual relationship, like where there's a lot of equality and a lot of like mutual adoration.
Yeah, they just seem so like into each other.
And they've been together for over 5 years now, so you know it's like for real feelings. Mm-hmm. That's how you know, is you've had enough time to get sick of each other. Or have been proximal enough to get sick of each other. That's very important. Totally. And that's why lesbians can get married earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they.
We
adhere.
We meld.
Yes, we meld.
Yeah. We are, what is that? We are, what's the magic chemistry that's like also medicine?
Alchemy?
Thank you.
Chemistry that's also medicine.
Medicine?
I don't know. Fuck, whatever. I don't read enough.
Pills and stuff.
But I was going to say, like, one of the things that makes it possible for me to do Foxhole is that Robin, thank the Lord, is keen to assist me with that. Like, she co-produces the show with me, and I couldn't do it without her. So
she's your Emily Gordon.
Who's that?
That's Kumail Nanjiani's wife, who produced all of Meltdown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And is brilliant in her own right.
Exactly, as is Robin, yeah. But, yeah, Robin works the door and helps out on social media whenever I'm like, can you do this? Can you post this? Can I? And then, picture, InDesign, change, this person's got out, this person's in. And also takes pictures at the show, which, again, we don't use, but we might one day. We keep planning to, like...
If there's a good one of me, please send it to me.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to.
No, there are no good ones of me.
I'm sure there are.
Very bad.
No. No, I want to, put them all into some kind of Dropbox and just mail it to everybody and be like, do you want us to, like, burn or send?
Like, just let people post their own.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Take what you want.
There was a show photo I had to contact David Cutting. I think his last name is Cutting. His drag name is Dust Quain. Anyway, I did his show and had the best. So if you get invited to do comedy on the show, definitely do it because it's so much fun. What's it's the Sleepy Girls Drag Show or Commercial Drag. He does it every weekend at the Dirty Penny
for
Sunday. So, but Sleepy Girls is once a month. Dirty it's a big, Penny. big drag show. Really, really fun. Anyway, I posted a bunch of pictures from the show finally, and there was a picture of me on there, and I for the first time in my life I had to message someone and be like, please, if you value me at all. Please delete that photo.
Because
I looked like Grimace, but made out of flesh. Like, it was a bad picture.
Grimace made flesh.
Grimace made flesh instead of, like, fun fur. I was just, like, red and had five chins and, like, I looked happy, but I also looked like I was about to Chris Farley it out. Like, it was not a good photo. I looked unhealthy in it.
Right.
So I was like, please kill this. It's like, for you, baby, anything. So
yeah,
I'm saved.
It's so funny how it's like, it feels very sensitive to put pictures of people up on the internet. But at the same time, when you're producing shows, it's like kind of important to have people's pictures either for promotional purposes or after the fact.
Yeah, just to show that it's like, people did it.
Yeah.
People were here.
We promise it's not just a trap where you go into this weird attic and no one ever comes out.
Yeah, nothing ever happened. But at the same time, like, we're all so good at our image curation that it's really...
traumatic to have somebody
else
do
it. Yeah, it's so hard. Yeah. And I also, it's also, like, those feelings that come up when someone posts a picture that they must have thought was good, and you're like, no, that's not
good. Why do you hate me?
Yeah, exactly.
But then, or it's like, that's just how you think I look. Because you obviously didn't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It's dysphoria life.
Mm-hmm. Gotta love, bad pictures can really ruin your fucking day, hey? Yeah, I don't get tagged in many things except for show photos. Yeah. Like, so if somebody's posting pics from a party, They usually ask first, I find. You ask usually before you put something up. I do too.
Yeah,
unless a photo is so good that, like, inarguably this is going to make somebody look really good.
Like that one that I put on Instagram that was, like, a Renaissance painting of you guys in the bus.
Oh, yeah, that was an amazing photo. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like someone named, like, Jan Peter van Halt or something could have painted it.
Amazing.
I just got some Dutch names in the old...
Chamberoo?
Side saddlebag or... Chamberoo.
I don't know.
my marsupial pouch. That's my Chamberoo.
I like it.
That's gross. It's the next level up for fanny pack lesbians. It's getting a pouch put into their body.
That your cat
I would want one, but a cat one. Yeah, exactly.
Like a pocket in your skin you could put a cat in?
I mean, I don't know about skin pocket, but like a very easy to slip on cat and or small child.
They absolutely have those. Yeah.
They're really, just really expensive.
I get Facebook ads for them all the time.
You're so allergic to cats.
No, it's for a baby.
Oh, okay. Aww. You're allergic to babies.
No, I'm not.
They smell so good. Mm. Except when they poo and fart.
Yeah.
And pee. Which is pretty much all the time.
Pretty much all the time. Yeah.
Top of their head, though, that's the business. Oof. Right in there. It's like milky dreams, y'all.
Can't wait.
I got to have a nice toddler time with my friend's kid. And she's still, because I'm not over there enough, so she kind of still doesn't really know who I am when I go over there. And her grandma keeps wanting me to, like, just come and play with her, just come and play. I'm like, I want to respect this kid's bodily autonomy, so I'm not just going to pick her up and, like, spin her around or jump in at bath time. It's like, I'm still kind of a stranger. It's like, no, you're Auntie Christina. It's like, you know that, but she doesn't know that. And when I go over to her, she goes, ugh, and, like, shies away from me. I'm like, I don't want to, like, stress her out, you know?
Yeah, you got to, like...
Warm
your way in. Let them figure out
that
who you are.
That kid is the cutest goddamn kid I've ever seen. Yeah.
She was fun. We played on the beach. We played with bubbles.
Does she like to throw rocks in the ocean?
No.
Okay. That was, I had my friend Chelsea came to visit, who, we used to live together. She's one of my favorite people. She's a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and the 3-year-old, it's like, hey, Bubba, what do you want to do? Throw rocks in the ocean!
I like
what did the
kids...
ocean ever do to you, Bubba?
And I'm trying to remember who else wanted to do that. I feel like I was talking to someone recently who said that their own kid is just like, I just want to throw rocks at the water. It's all I want to do.
It's kind of a universal instinct.
Yeah, or eat rocks. I mean, I think that's the other kid thing. Maybe it's younger. They're just like, rock, mouth.
Yeah, I would.
I still do that as an adult. I put rocks in my mouth that I shouldn't.
I actually did that recently.
I'll lick anyone's salt lamp if they have a Himalayan salt lamp. Yeah. If they go out of the room, I'm like...
Yeah.
Have I done it to yours, Chris? Yes, several times.
Yeah.
Here and other places you've lived. I lick that lamp. I'm sorry.
Ew.
I have a problem. I just love salt so much. I'm part horse.
Salt lick.
I'm part horse or part deer.
Only in the dick.
Only in the dick. Only my dick is from a horse. Like a really, I'm like 1/10 centaur and it's all in my dick.
I mean, I feel like you have fancy hair, too, which is horse-like. Not that your hair is horsey, but, like, that horses have that quality.
That they have cool manes.
Yeah. Don't they?
And overexcited little girls won't leave me alone. They keep trying to tell me that they'll tame me. I'm like, no, you can't. You're a child.
I cannot be broken.
I cannot be broken. I'm a wild horse. I'm Black Velvet, or Black Beauty, or whatever the fuck.
I like where this is going, yeah.
That Alana Miles song. Oh, God.
How was your week, Katie?
Oh, I was going to ask you. Okay, how was my week? It was weird, actually. And fine. Weird and fine. But it started with I guested on somebody else's podcast for the first time in a little while. And it was the podcast of Mr. Mark Hughes. Who I don't really, like, we don't super get along, like, we have not historically gotten along or seen eye to eye, but I think there's always been, like, a cool respect between us, and...
Sometimes,
yeah. It's just
he definitely did spend a lot of a set just berating you.
It's true. It's very true. I must have talked about going on this podcast, the last podcast, and then I did it in between, because I feel like I've talked about this before here. Anyway, so I did the podcast on Monday, and it was so appropriate. And I don't mean to be very dark here, but, like, that's the kind of person he is. So I showed up at his house, and there were cops everywhere, because someone had died in the building. So the coroner was there, and, like, I could see, like, the open door of the place where the guy had died with the light spilling out, and the coroner was, like, in these boot covers in the hallway, like, yeah, we're gonna get this one out of here. Like, it was just so, like, soup's dark. And, yeah, so, and Mark was like, yeah, this happens probably every two months or so.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was like, this is a very appropriate start to this with you. Because he's had a pretty dark life.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be the first person to tell you that.
Yeah.
What'd you guys talk about?
Mental illness and mental wellness and the work that we both do to be functional members of society.
Well, that's nice.
Which he's actually a pretty insightful and, like, ultimately a compassionate fellow who just has some, like, really maladaptive adaptations to deal with the world. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy was in prison for 9 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. It was very illuminating. I feel like I know a lot more about him as a person, and I got to play with his ferret. That is not a euphemism. I just got to play with a ferret.
Right on.
That was good. It's like a cat snake.
So I understand.
I'm not a fan either. Yeah.
Somebody was saying yesterday that somebody took their ferrets to Trout Lake Park and, like, all of a sudden, and, like, let them roam free, and then everybody, like, leashed up their dogs real quick, because dogs are, of course, trained to
chase weasels.
Break ferret necks, so.
That's very dumb to do that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, free.
Why would you take your ferrets to the fucking dog park? The off-leash dog park?
Yeah, right.
That seems like someone wanting to be litigious or something.
That's my ferret association of late.
Yeah, I you know me,
it's
I love...
Good to know that Marquise has a ferret, though.
Two of them. Yeah, one of them was very cute.
The other one...
I didn't see the other one. The other one's very old, apparently. It was, like, just curled up somewhere.
The other one's just fucking butt-ugly ferret.
Gnarly ferret.
Butt-ugly. It's because I expect them to be, like, the same size as my pet rats, which they're not. They're about six times the size of them. And I picked it up, and I'm like, wow, you have a lot of heft to you. It was like, but it was kind of like just picking up a sock full of beans. It's just such a funny, it's like, oh, you're just the same weight all over. Like, there's no distribution. You don't have a center of gravity necessarily other than your exact center.
I don't like it.
It's just floppy. It's funny. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm too, like, cat and kitten oriented. I feel like a ferret would just feel like that's a really very emaciated.
Stretched
out. I am very gay, Katie. So, case. Yes. Yeah. Because I feel like I pick them up, especially Gertrude. And she's just so long. She just, like, flops. She's very...
I really want to meet your cats.
Oh my god, they're the best. I just love them so much. They have such distinct personalities. It's amazing.
What else did we do this week? Oh, I did Jackie's show on Wednesday. It was awesome.
Nice.
It was a really, really fun show.
It was a good show. Yeah, that was a great show.
It was an interesting lineup.
Thank you for
opening. Anytime. I like going bullet because it means I can just go smoke a joint immediately after and just be a wreck for the rest of the night. I don't have to be sensible. That's great. I'd love to be unprofessional after. Yeah, you have to still be mostly functional.
Yeah.
And the comedian Quincy Jones showed up in the evening.
Quincy.
Burn me.
I'm not going to burn you. Like, no, you can't know every comedian in the world, right?
No,
like, and he's not from here, so why would we... It was like... There's, like, four black comedians in Vancouver, and so, like, I was like, this guy looks a little bit familiar, and I can't tell why, and then
He came in the door and was like, do you have any spots tonight? And, like, this happens from time to time, like, guys will show up and be like, can I get on? And I'll be like, nope, it's a booked show. I'm like, just send me a message, you can get on any other time. And, but, like, a black man I don't know messaged me recently to be like, can I get on the show? And so I asked him if he was that guy, because, like, I didn't know that guy either. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, away on holiday, and I didn't, like, get a chance to creep his profile or anything, so, but he didn't seem to click into that. And mm-hmm. also the show was happening and there's not a lot of space for chatting in that room, and so I was like, and he just kind of was like, no worries, and he just sort of came in and watched the show.
Mm-hmm. Which is, like, a pretty cool, decent thing to
which
do,
which is a
right?
great thing to do, yeah. Not
there's
be
no more
weird
seats.
About it.
He was just watching it. Like, a cool guy.
Yeah, and then later he was like, yeah, I'm that guy. And he's got, like, an HBO. He's, like, this comic who had, like, I don't know if his cancer is still terminal or
it is.
What.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's still just, like, in a treatment phase. He's, like, gonna try to get as much time as he can. He's got some sort of, like, it's, like, very specific kind of cancer, which is, like, pretty intense. But he's definitely somebody who... like, is just like, okay, let's get as much in as possible while I'm here. And he's just, like, was so nice.
Yeah, he was really nice. And then, yeah, afterwards, he's like, I just didn't want to be that guy that was like, I have credits, you know? And I was like, I mean, that's very sweet, but also, like, please be help that me. Guy. Yeah. Yeah, like, I would have loved to have you on that show, and I don't know you. Like, so...
Yeah, I mean, he did a You Made It Weird, I'm pretty sure.
He was on Todd Glass's podcast a whole bunch of times as well. That's where I know him from.
Yeah. Yeah, he was at the mix this weekend, but...
Nice.
Yeah, they sent everyone. Him to me, which is funny, because, like, they won't even... Well, whatever.
They won't even call me back.
They literally won't. Yeah, I can't get on the program, but...
Yeah, I haven't been able to get up in a really long time either, so...
Yeah, there's been a change, I think.
Yeah, I'll let you know what my suspicions are later.
Yeah. Feelings. But you know what? I don't want any room that doesn't want me. I've got my own, so...
No, that's legit. Mm-hmm.
Just as good.
Yeah. Very legit. Extraordinarily legit. Mm-hmm. Chris, how was your week?
Ah, yes.
The bad. Salt mines.
No, it's just whatever. It's hard and dumb and bad and stuff like that. I don't want to, like, get too into, like, dwelling on certain things, because I don't really like to talk about work, but... It's just been a lot to manage, but what I'm very excited about is that I've booked a small vacation.
Hooray!
I'm gonna...
you could can that and just play it over and over again.
Yes! I might.
You just play it for yourself, like, is this a good idea, guys?
Yay! I'll put it as, like, my ringtone whenever I get a text.
Perfect. Please do.
But I'm gonna go visit my friends in Eugene, Oregon, and in Portland and stuff, so that'll be really nice.
Fuck yes.
So I want your recommendations for going to go see some comedy during the week.
Oh, hell yeah. If you're there on a Monday, you gotta go to Barbara's show.
Yeah, well, I'll see what I can do. I'm gonna, like, you know, flex my schedule around. But a fun thing that I got to do that was also crazy was I went to the Chinese New Year parade today. Mm-hmm. So I did that all morning from, like, 9 a.m. with, like, a reception and then another reception and then the parade, and I got to be in it, and, like, we handed out 2,000 little red pockets with, yes, like, candy in them. And it was just, like, what a trip. I'm like, man, next year, like, I want to take just a little bit of E just so that I don't, like, that I'm not as worried. It's such a crowded room, and people were literally, like, elbowing me out of the way and, like, stepping on me and pushing me, like, to get into certain pictures and to, like...
That sucks.
Yeah, like, it's this real, like, showboaty kind of fest with, like, all these dignitaries that are all trying to, like, outshine each other, and it's just, like, crazy. But a local politician from the federal government said some, like, batshit shit at this reception this morning, where she was like, oh, yes, our relations with China go back so far, like, when you came over to build the railroads from sea to sea, making this country so glorious, and blah, blah, blah. And she said, with Canadian ideas and Chinese grit, we were able to get so much done, and blah, blah, blah. And we're just like, you're a federal government person. No, no, no. And then... She talked about how it's, like, the tourism year or whatever, and it's, like, and Chinese tourists, we know that they're the ones that spend the most money out of all tourists, so we've approved all these tourist visas for Chinese people, and I'm just, like, oh, my God, what a batshit lady. It was quite something.
She needs to be put on leave and go on holiday with that lady who thinks residential schools were just peachy keen.
Yeah. So the next person that got up was like, and of course we can't forget the horrible atrocities that were done to Chinese people. Oh my God.
Ay-ay-ay.
It was quite something.
Swear to God that politics is actually just Parks and Rec.
Mm. Like, I believe that.
The more I hear about it, mm-hmm, the more I'm like, oh, it is like the show that satirizes that sort of work.
Yeah, it's, you can only do satire by being really intimately familiar with the subject, I think. And they get a lot of stuff right. It just... Yeah, I saw some people, like, push their own colleagues out of a picture and stuff like that so that they would only be in it. And it was just like, come on.
Man, we think comedy's fucking cutthroat.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like there's just as many weird codes and rules and backroom deals.
But I feel like yours is much higher stakes.
But, like, when everyone's a type A, like, and wants to be the center of attention, like, that's how you get into that comedy and politics.
Oh, God.
And so then you all have to work together on a team to do something. It's, like, a little bit tricky.
Kind of, yeah. There's definitely always all those other people who are make it happen, actually.
Yeah.
Who are.
Yeah, but. The behind the scenesers. Anyway, it was just so, it was a lot today, though, of, like, managing. I had to, like, hold two different phones and then juggle three bags of stuff, and I was just like, whoop, 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 and getting pushed and shoved and out in the cold, and it fucking snowed so much last night, so it was, like, freezing today. And so then as soon as I got home from the first part of my day, I went to bed for a nap, and now we're podcasting, and then I have to go out again for a dinner.
Oh my goodness.
Do you get some time off this week in lieu? Or?
Probably not.
Oh God, Chris, how much vacation time have you saved up?
It doesn't really work that way.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But do you get, like, I know what you go through, like, softness?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that a little bit at our work, too, which is that because during the festival period and also during some of the other times, there's, like, you're kind of never
off.
You
have to really
push. Yeah.
To get through.
Yeah, it's true.
So sorry.
It's true. No,
festivals, get it?
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah. Hey, it's hard. It's like really fun when you start working there and then you like notice it pop up every once in a while and you're like, let's push that meeting, you know, but then for like, it's like three times is sort of the max and then you're like, I'm done now. Like this okay, can never be funny.
I got one in.
You got, so. Yeah, you're good.
You get one. Three.
But yeah, I found out that the year-round staff get, every time there's a long weekend, we get the other day also, just in lieu, just like that's part of our situation to compensate for how much it's basically like working a solid month.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah,
you get sort of, yeah, whatever, however many holidays we get, 10. So it's like 10 extra days off that are just throughout the year. Yeah. So now I get 4-day weekends instead of 3-day weekends when there's a long weekend, which is
nice.
Very delightful and amazing. It feels unreal to me, honestly, to have a job. Anyway, enough about that.
No, it's all good. No, I get some flexibility in terms of, like, I can work remotely, so you can kind of, like, as long as I'm contactable, then I can kind of be from anywhere, so I don't always have to go into an office if it's been, like, a super busy on-your-feet week, then it's like, this day I will be working from my couch.
Yeah, that's nice. You can, like, background watch TV.
But yeah, so it was my first parade, like, actually being in the...
Saying my first parade. Oh, yes. It was your first parade.
It super was, and it was really, like, I thought I knew what to expect, and I did not have any real recollection of what it was actually like. So, I survived, though.
You did?
It was good. I wore a bright yellow jacket and looked nice and waved at people and handed out lots of packets of candy to children. So, I mean,
did you get those like little white rabbit candies, those waxy pieces of shit?
No, we got the good kind. We got the strawberry milk lucky candies.
Ooh, that's
the biz. I thought
it was
supposed to be coins. I guess candy's probably cheaper.
Yeah, and like we're
you know, fling metal coins at people from the parade.
And a little teeny tiny envelopes.
Politicians can't give out money, public
very
money.
Legal.
Yeah.
Interesting, of course. It's all coming together.
My weed delivery service did a Chinese New Year special and I got a lucky packet. And it's like, you get this weed item plus candy. And I was like, I hope it's weed candy. It was 100% one of those shitty white rabbit ones. I couldn't even peel the wax paper off.
You're not supposed to peel it off. You just eat it.
What?
Yeah. You eat the paper.
I don't want to.
I could have also been tricked by my Chinese friends in high school to eat the paper.
This is
I
want
to just like allow that to be a possibility.
I guess it could be rice paper.
That sounds true.
But that was funny.
That's funny. Did you get some weed that they named it something like Golden Dragon?
No, it was called Romulan, which is great. It's a sleepy time tasty boy.
Sleepy time tea.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's great.
HC.
Next. Oh, that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. But yeah, what else do I get to do in this week? Nope, that's it. My brain, like, I feel honestly like just I'm in a bit of overload. I just had stress dreams all last night where I was just like trying to catch up to my boss and couldn't quite get to her. She was always just going around a different corner and I like didn't sleep. Like, I have this sleep tracker thing and it just showed me being like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Like, I just couldn't.
Oh, boo. So baby, darling.
I'm in
sweetheart.
Much need of a break. And I couldn't find my lucky red dress that I wanted to wear to the gala tonight. It was so pretty. I think maybe I gave it away because I can't find it anywhere. I'm like, but I wanted to wear that as a bridesmaid's dress, too. And I...
You could wear that blanket as a cape.
It's got a really big hole. I could wear that
as
cape
a poncho,
over there
then.
As a cape.
Yeah, perfect.
I do have that amazing cape, so...
Well, this is definitely a cape.
Yeah. So I brought that out as a potential thing to wear. But I do have, like, I have a blue dress with, like, cherry blossoms on it, which I think will be just as, like, appropriate.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, those are, like, from my dad's wardrobe.
This is your cardinal cloak, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. It's very Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah. Works. He had these two nice capes, and I wore one for Halloween. The black one with the red on the inside is, like, my cardinal thing. Katie's put it. Can you hear the sumptuous fabric rustling?
Everything to do with me is wrestling these days.
This might actually fit you better because it's got, like, pretty big shoulders that I don't have, and so it doesn't really quite fit.
It's not your fault you're not a big beefaroonie like me.
I'm just a... There you go. Yeah. And then you put your hands through the little slits there. You see?
Something I'm sure you're familiar
with. Ooh, it does look good on you. Okay, maybe you're getting that as a present.
I like it.
Oh, I don't usually see you in, like, that kind of cherry red color, though.
It's because I used to have red hair.
Mm-hmm. I used to have really bad acne, and I wore tried on red jeans once, and my mom was like, that color is not becoming on you. And then I, like, never wore red again.
But your mom's so cute.
My mom is very cute.
I love the picture of her riding the big bicycle.
Oh, my God. She was just, like, living her truth, just, like, riding a giant bike around Canadian Tire, and I took a picture of her smiling. It's my favorite.
What are you doing?
I'm taking a photo of myself wearing
this. Can you wait until after the podcast?
No,
because it'll be, like, an experiential...
I really can't. I mean, I could, but I just didn't.
So, you want me to take it for you? I've been taking pictures all day. Got my trigger happy thumb. Stand up.
Well,
how regal. Very good.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, if you want to borrow a cape, you can totally borrow that. I have it in black as well.
Let me borrow that cape.
Mm-hmm. If you ever want to be extra dramatic. Oh, Katie's trying to do a sexy picture now with the cape to replace the bad one that I took. Stop doing that. Now she's giving herself weird faces. This is bad for radio, Katie.
You don't have to narrate it.
I know.
I'm just living my truth, as usual. Just like your mom on the bike.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Oh, it's too hot for a cloak in here.
No, I'm so cold. I'll never be warm again. My toes are so chilly. Oh, she's putting the cape on me.
Chris. Now you're like James Brown trying to get off stage, and I'm like, oh, we gotta get you off stage. We gotta get you off stage.
No, I'm gonna keep podcasting, goddammit.
Get on up. Podcast again. Huh.
Like a sex machine.
Like a sex machine. Podcasting is the thing sex machines do.
That's how I like to podcast, like a sex machine.
Get on the scene.
Rat-a-tat-ta. I was thinking of one of those jackhammery ones.
A podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
I lost the thread.
Yeah, me too.
Great.
Cool. Here we are.
Someone will get it.
No.
What else?
Did we just slide terribly into indolence just now?
Yes.
Yeah.
We can make it a short one.
Oh, we can.
My neck hurts.
Aw.
I think it's just from sleeping too long or something, or lying on the couch. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's my...
I think it's just that we're all slowly dying.
Surely that, but also, my niece just visited. She was 19. She was here for a couple days. And
she exhausted you?
No, but she reminded me that, like, while 36 is still very young in the grand scheme of things, like, one of the dominant feelings of this age, I find, is, like, an increasing awareness of my withering, aging body.
I can concur. Yeah. I'm only 3 years behind, so.
And, like, my unignorable duty to take care of it, in theory.
I really wish that we could have just had a gif of your face saying that to post.
But, she's so full of,
life
and energy. I know, and, like, hope, and...
Do you have to, like spray your apartment after?
A little bit. Luckily, she's allergic to cats, so she couldn't stay too long, so it's, like, just the right... Like, warding off enthusiasm through,
you don't,
like,
need to see how someone else doesn't get hangovers or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. She doesn't even really like to drink, which is, like, so cool and beautiful. I'm like, who are you?
Like, that's gotta be nice to not like drinking.
No.
It tastes so good.
I know.
It feels
like,
so good.
You just haven't drank enough yet. Like, just keep trying to smoke the weed. You'll like it eventually.
Oh, my God. Guys, we're bad people.
I'm a terrible, terrible influence.
I hurt my back from sitting on the couch in the same spot, for sure. Like, I just, so sometimes I'm like, my back is sore. I could get up and exercise, or I'll just move to a different position on the couch.
Exactly. I do feel like this, I don't know, I feel like this terrible, like, obligation to sort of rest hard when I'm on holiday, which is what I'm just coming out of. So I've been off for a week, and, you know, we were out of town, we went to Phoenix, and then my niece was here, and then it was, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm like, I want to do almost nothing. Mm-hmm. So I did almost nothing. I watched, like, almost all of Berlin Babylon on Netflix.
Is that any good?
Honestly,
I'm gonna go with no.
Well, no, I like it, and I'm gonna keep watching it. I'm, you know, 14 episodes in, so I do like
it. That's a commitment, yeah.
Yeah, I do like it, but I also just, like, miss, like, German productions, and people speaking German and stuff like that, because I used to live in Germany, and...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I have a degree in German.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yep. I speak German. I lived in Germany, like... about 2 years if you smoosh it all together, but spread out over about 6 years.
So are you fluent?
Yeah.
That's so cool. It's such a sexy language.
I think so too, yeah. I think it's way... I think whenever people are like, oh, German, it's ugly, I'm like, you're thinking of Dutch.
Oh, Dutch is so much uglier than German. It's so much more guttural. German is, like, softer. There's almost... it's more like a French...
Well, it's precise.
It has very strict grammar, doesn't it?
Very strict. Yeah, I always say that, I mean, for... I think that German, especially coming from an English or miscellaneous Latin kind of grounded language, beginning German is very difficult because it's so structured and there's so much grammar, but advancing in German is much easier because once you've understood that initial grammar, it's just adding vocabulary. The verbs, like the tenses are very simple. Yeah, the grammar is pretty straightforward. It's just a lot of groundwork.
I know. I wonder if I'd remember. I took a German class for philosophy students so that you could, like, learn to read the Marx in the original, whatever. But it was basically, like, a how to use the dictionary efficiently when you're reading German. And so it was a lot of that grammar stuff. And to be like, okay, you know that you only really have to look up this one word. Like, that's the word that's going to give you the meaning.
At the end of the sentence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I'd remember many of those rules anymore.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, German... it can be really beautiful. Yeah, the sentences can be really long because of how much information is carried in the forcing of the grammar to tell you about the meaning of the sentence. So, like, what I mean is, like, you can say, like, you know, because for example, the direct article, the, has three genders in German, but also four different versions, depending on whether it's the subject, the object, the dative, or the genitive in the sentence. And so when you just say something, you can, in the context, it can be inferred what you mean based on the article you used, rather than saying a lot of extra words. So it's actually possible to make sentences that infer a ton of meaning without using all the fucking bullshit words we use in English.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of, like, sort of meaningless fluff
filler
words,
yeah,
in English. It's very difficult to learn and super unpredictable. And German makes a lot more sense that way. But also, I went, when I was young, I went in high school on an exchange for 3 months-ish and just kind of, like, was very receptive and had a lot of support learning and kind of caught a lot really young. Well, I feel like I was still, like... sweet and open-minded, like my
good brain
niece.
Sponge
neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
Exactly. So so I got in kind of early, and and then I ended up double majoring, and I went back after high school, and then I went back in university, and then I went back in between years of university.
Nice.
So yeah,
always
spent a lot of time.
The same region of Germany, or like
no, all
over. Cool.
So mostly Berlin towards the end, but my exchange was in Nuremberg or Nuremberg, in the south, in Bavaria, like northern Bavaria. And then after high school, I lived in Dusseldorf for about 6 months. And then in university, I was in Berlin and for about a year and a half.
It's really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It was good. Yeah. I love Germany. I mean, it's not an uncomplicated place, but it was like a fun.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But they're
Berlin
fucking
smart
there.
Rules. Some serious history.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun.
We had a German exchange student in my high school whose name was Wolfgang, and he was from the Black Forest.
Aww, that's the one place I haven't hung out, actually.
I just remember meeting him. Somebody's like, this is Wolfie. Say hi to Wolfie. And I went to shake his hand, and he shook my hand so fucking hard that, like, there was a bruise around these fingers from the ring that I was wearing. And I was like, God damn, Wolfie.
Yeah. In Germany, yeah. Like, that was also so weird for me as, like, a 17-year-old going to Germany, and everyone, every time you see them, greets by shaking hands or a kiss on both cheeks. And so when you're 17 and you're, like, meeting all these strange boys and girls, and everyone's, like, greeting and kissing and touching, and it's like, it was really hard to get used to. But, but then it's also hard to come back to Canada,
it's
where,
so
like, no one touches each other.
Yeah, there's not a lot of... I maybe it would have been comfortable in Sweden there, because nobody really touches each other there. You can't make eye contact on the bus where people get really mad at you.
Ooh, sounds like Canada.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, people do just make eye contact with you on the bus, though.
Yeah, but you, I guess people also just get really mad at you for no reason sometimes on the bus here, too.
Sometimes. It's true. Sometimes. What's your favorite German word?
Ooh,
Or idea. Because they got a lot of good compound words.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the words that I most wish we had in English that we don't is jein, which is the combination of ja and nein. So when someone says, like, I don't know, just someone asks you a question, like, did you, like, for example, say, I don't know, you uploaded the podcast, but then it was, like, something was fucked up, so you took it down. And if Katie asks you, did you publish the podcast, you could say jein, which would mean like I did, but also I didn't, you know. You know, or like also there's a kind of inverse, which is doch, which is like the positive answer to a negative question, doch. And so if someone asks you a negative question, like you didn't park there, and you want to say no, I did park there, in English, in Canada, we say yes to that negative question, even though, in fact, the rational meaning is the opposite.
Uh-huh.
But in German, you can just say doch, which means the positive answer to a negative question. So it simplifies things a little bit.
Yeah.
It's clever.
Wow, you have a really, like, deep understanding of how linguistics work. Was that your other major?
No, but, I mean, I also, yeah, I took French and Mandarin, and I also speak Japanese a little bit.
This is fascinating to me. I didn't know this about you at all. I find languages the most difficult thing in the world. Like, I would rather take advanced math than try to learn another language.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I find math and physics and science. Like, I took physics all the way through grade 12, but at some point I was like, I no longer get this. Like, this doesn't make any sense. This is make-believe. Like, what are we talking about? Light rays. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. And likewise, chemistry and all that stuff. I'm like, it feels like make-believe.
But lights are, it's a ray and a particle.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't, what? You don't know anything about neutrons. So I don't get that kind of stuff. But language stuff, that I get.
Yeah, that's very bad at French.
I was too.
And my two subjects that I got poor grades in high school were math and French.
I think French education for English, for like Anglo kids in Canada is pretty terrible.
Mm-hmm. We really don't get a chance to actually like speak it properly because you're just speaking it like with your other dumb classmates.
Yeah.
So like you can't really have a good conversation.
Like not, because you never get over the embarrassment of sounding like an idiot.
Yeah.
And so then everybody assumes like all language learning is, well, it is a little bit sounding like an idiot, but you have to kind of break through that, and you can't ever do that with other people who are also learning.
Yeah, no, it's like just going somewhere where they only speak that language, and then you're like, well, you gotta, or else you won't ever be able to find a bathroom or get food.
Yeah, and of course the problem for English speakers is that people will just default to English with you everywhere, but the great thing about German is that if you ask a German to not do that to you, they will honor your request. Mm-hmm. So that was easy for me. In Japan, it's difficult because when people do speak English, like they kind of assume that you must not want to speak Japanese. Mm-hmm. And like also it's a chance for them to practice English, but they would never like put you out of comfort to like prioritize their preference. But
I think I would love Japan so much.
you might. And like I loved it and hated it. Like I'm very dubious of like I lived there for 4 years, and I'm dubious
you lived in Japan for 4 years.
Yeah.
What the fuck, Jackie? I thought you lived in this, like, you've lived a life.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. 4 years.
You've lived, okay, so I thought when you said you didn't live in Canada, I assumed you lived in the States, which
No, I've never lived in the States.
Okay. It's Robin who's from the States.
Yeah, she grew up in Florida. Yeah.
That's so wild.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I lived in Germany, and then in Japan, and then in the UK for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
For school?
No. So Germany was high school, and then after high school for just me, and then university exchange, and then a little bit of work after like tie over from the previous year. Then I graduated UBC and went off to Japan, which was supposed to be just 1 year, and it turned into 4. And then at the time I was with someone who was from New Zealand, and we both wanted to not go home but also not stay. because we'd both, like, it was like 2008, 2009, so we'd both been offered early retirements at our job because our jobs were downsizing. Mm-hmm. And so we had a chance to, like, blast off somewhere else, and the only place we could both get visas was England. So mm-hmm. we went there for 2 years, which is also the maximum you can stay on those visas, and they're not joking around about that. Yeah. You cannot convert those into something else unless you have a super specialized field, and mm-hmm. in which case you probably wouldn't have even come on that visa anyway. And so because we're both kind of like Englishy, writing-y, marketing-y types, we had nothing to bring to England that England didn't already make itself. And then also, yeah, we broke up. So then I came back home and that was 2012. And so I've been back in Canada since 2012, but, yeah. So 6 years in a row. Yeah. I don't plan on going anywhere. In fact, after our, you guys would probably like this as cute journal people. But part of what our, like, my, that holiday on Bowen with Robin was about was, like, just being together as a couple and, like, going away from all of the shit and just being like, what are we doing with our lives? Like, what do we want to accomplish together over the next 5 years, let's say, even just five? Like, what, you know, understanding that it's, like, most big things take a lot of little steps. What is it that we actually want rather than like joking about like, let's start a brewery, like, let's do this, like, let's go to England, let's go to wherever. And so what we did was we just took a billion sheets of paper. This we did actually like 2 days after we eloped. So it was like elopement day, call the family day, and then life goals day. And so we just took a million little sheets of paper, and we both just sort of privately wrote, like, in the next 5 years, I'd like to, like, do or see or have or make or this thing to happen or whatever. And then shared them all and categorized them, because there was a lot of overlap, and then grouped them into, like, you know, where there was a conflict, it was kind of like, what's the priority? Like, this thing or that thing? And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, let's not do this one, and let's do this one. And it helped us sort of decide one. Yeah, so then we grouped it further into, like, things that we can do in the next month, things that are more like in a couple months, things that are more like, let's come back to this next spring or whatever, or next summer. And it helped us clear up a few things, which is, like, we've committed to staying in the co-op that we live in and staying in Vancouver for 5 years. So it means we can, like, let go of all of that, like, maybe we should leave. Like, where are we going to go? Like, let's get out of Vancouver, or, like, uh-huh. let's move to wherever. And it gives us a bit of time to save and stuff like that and stay where we are and just accept that we need to just, like, shut up and pay off our debts and sit down for a little bit and just, crunch it out, you know? Yeah. And yeah, so just, and stuff like that, like, oh, you know, if we want to maybe have a brewery one day, like, okay, well, let's, like, first start homebrewing and see where that takes us. Like, let's actually do that.
Because you might hate it.
Yeah, because we might hate it. Like, Robin currently works at a brewery, so we're, like, mm-hmm. pretty interested, like, we're close to that world of those types of people, but having your own business is, like, a whole other thing. But yeah. I don't know. I think Robin and I would work well together in that kind of environment. We're good at being close to each other a lot, but at the same time, and we have, like, kind of different complementary skills, but even so, I think there's, I actually think it's just dangerous to go into an alcohol field. I'm already in an alcohol field, basically, in comedy, so, and in performing arts, like, there's so much evening entertaining, being out drinking, it's like, I have to be careful about my own, like, body and
health.
Yeah. Like, so there's things like that. But anyway, yeah. So we decided to stay in Vancouver. We made a commitment to stay for 5 more years.
Hmm. Honest to God, that's the most romantic fucking thing I've ever heard. Like, sitting down with that paper.
I was proud of us. Yeah. It was cool.
I think maybe that just proves that I'm a deeply unromantic person, because that organization and, like, making sure you're on the same page is the most soothing thing I can think of. Like, that just puts me at rest.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And normally I'm just in a state of tension Jackie and I both did personality tests online today.
I also did mine.
And I was 100% on anxiety.
I apparently was, like, very low. I was, like, 40%. And I'm like, I'm pretty anxious, but not about existentially things. Just, like,
I feel like that situational test is kind of bullshit. Any test that auto-posts, bullshit.
Didn't auto-post. You had to choose the settings.
Were you a little drunk when you were doing it?
No. I wasn't. But I don't know. Someone else on my feed had done it, and I was like, oh, I want to do this. Oh, maybe it'll be fun to talk about tomorrow. And then I did it, and I don't know. And then Also, it was so short. Like, I don't know. If you want to talk about personality tests, we can talk about personality tests. I can go on at length.
Oh, we did an MBTI one episode a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So we're like, I'm an INFJ. And an Enneagram too.
I used to be ENTJ, and now I'm ENFJ.
I'm ENFJ, yeah.
That makes sense, actually.
Yeah. That quiz that you posted today that had, like, the spokes and whatever, it showed that I was, like, extremely friendly and gregarious, but not very warm or emotional. And I'm like, that's real. But it's kind of...
It is a little bit.
But it's kind
warm
of...
warm to me.
It's kind of funny, though, that it's just like, yeah, you're so friendly, but not very warm. And I was thinking about, like, I was at this, you know, party last night, and... chatting with this new person who's an old friend of the friends that were there, and I've just, like, realized halfway through, I'm like, I haven't asked this person anything about themselves at all. Like, I thought I'm curious about people, right? Like, I should... And so then I started to ask questions and get to know her more, and I was like, you're so cool! Like, oh, why don't I do this more?
But I also think that quizzes like that have a self-reporting...
Oh, sure.
Like, you know,
and it's very much how you're feeling on the day as well, sure. too. Like,
oh, yeah, it's all bullshit.
I did this, like, you know... an hour ago after I came off this, like, extremely, like, intensive day of lots of socialization. So I'm just like, no. Like, no people. Exactly. I like doing things by myself. Go away.
We know the only categorization system that actually is true is astrology.
Exactly.
You're Pisces too, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. When's your birthday?
International Women's Day, March 8th.
Oh, wow.
That's very gay.
That's very gay.
Yeah. Also, the year of the cock, so...
You know,
I
not bad.
Joke about that, yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
me. That feels like a natural.
Yeah.
That feels like a natural.
But I have an Aries moon, which, if you know your astrology, probably tells you.
And we fucking do.
It tells you a lot about me. Mm-hmm. And also Sagittarius rising, which is why I'm like always onward. Yeah, people do yikes a lot when I say that, but yeah, it's a weird combo.
Uh-huh.
But it basically makes me not a typical Pisces in a lot of ways, because I don't withdraw as much as a lot of Pisces do when they do the withdrawing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I tend
see you
to...
never.
Mm-hmm. I'm like...
You actually, like, get shit done sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I do shit. Yeah.
Pisces, Aquarius rising, Gemini moon.
Ugh. I forgot about your Gemini That's moon. That's okay.
What's
I still
Gemini
love you.
I honestly don't remember.
Of the...
Air.
Thank you. Okay, so
I'm water, air. No earth.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait. Aquarius is water. It's air.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's air, water, then.
Yeah, which is...
They just put aqua in there. It really fucks you up.
It does. It fucks you up so much. Yeah, it just...
I don't know why Aquarius the water bearer isn't water. It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's like... so...
because you're carrying water through the air, I guess.
You're taking it out of its natural element and putting it up into...
I feel like...
transmitting it.
God, we're dorks. That's it.
I'm cool with being an astrology dork.
Happy end of the podcast, everybody.
I don't even know when this is going to come out. This is going to come out when Katie's in the UK, but... tell us
well,
about...
I'm sowing anarchy in the UK.
JFL Northwest.
Yeah.
You'll miss it, but I'll be there. I have a...
I'm going to come to the Foxhole.
Yeah,
I bought my ticket.
I saw you.
Yeah.
I love being able to recruit the attendees. yeah.
And Foxhole's every Wednesday?
It's every single Wednesday.
Oh, that's on your birthday, then. It's actually...
the day before, yeah.
Oh, day before.
Yeah.
March 7th, yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, so Foxhole Comedy, it's in the projection room above the Fox Cabaret. Every Wednesday, doors at 8, show at 9, home by 10:30-ish. More like 10:40, to be honest. But, never goes till 11. And, yeah. And then we have a special show on the 7th, which is nearly sold out, but not quite. But it will sell out before the day. So if you want to come, get your tickets now.
Nice.
Only $5.
This may come out slightly after.
Anyway, we've got
come
great...
anyway. Every
actually,
Wednesday.
March 14th show is going to be incredible. I'm so excited. I'm not even going to tell you who's on it. But
I'm not fucking back for that. That makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah, Jess Solomon's going to be in town. I don't know if you follow her online, but I love her. She's like a former human rights lawyer / like gay comic.
Amazing.
Cool.
Sounds fucking great.
Yeah.
Right,
try to record it.
So go check out the Foxhole. Can people follow anything on
Facebook, Insta, Foxhole Comedy.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't make up the name because I inherited the room, and I'm not going to change it. But.
Yeah,
you've done a lot with the room, man. It like no disrespect.
We didn't even get into talking about that, but I kind of wanted to. Where it was just like you've made it into this really great room for like mostly like
it's
not your typical comics.
Yeah, like
not white dudes.
Not white dudes. I put a cap on the number of cis hetero white dudes who are allowed on the show each week at typically 2, occasionally 3, but mostly just two, and usually sometimes there's not even one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm just trying, there's like a skills range, so I'll always have like predominantly experienced people, but I'll pepper like one or two pretty new people in every once in a while, because I like the idea of it being a space where there's like a warm room for people to bring their friends and like their thing, and yeah, and I don't know, just it feels like one's obligation. I make a big deal out of it, so I take flack, I think, for being so out there about it. But yeah, like, there's lots of people also run their rooms like that, but don't shout about it. But for me, I'm like, nope, that's what I want to do.
100% assertive.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know. Feels just like, why not?
But it's good. I think, like, you've gotten a reputation of being like, it's a really fucking funny show, and there's no lack of talent to go around.
And it's so small and intimate that it's just like, yeah, it's literally warm and figuratively very warm.
Yeah, that's the thing that's really lovely about it, is that in that room, it can feel really full with about 20, 25 people. And the capacity, really, like, where it turns over to standing room is kind of 40. And the most we've ever had in there, I think, is almost 50. And that's fun. But, you know, that's unique to the specific space. So if we were to ever outgrow that space, it would become a different show, mm-hmm. I think. So for now, I just want to keep going every Wednesday and see what happens. But I like it so far. People seem to like it, so I'm impressed.
It's like one of the few shows I'll actually just go to if I'm not on. That's a long drive for me.
It is. So long. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I fell in love with that room before it was ever mine either. I would also go to it because I was like, this room is so cute and has such potential. And that's how I got given it. I just approached the guy who ran it and said, like, do you need help running this? Like, can I manage your Insta? Like, how...
do you want it? You can have it.
Not quite. Like, he was like, oh, I've got plans and da-da-da, and I'm working out some things, but there's definitely changes coming, and I'll keep you posted, and thanks for letting me know that you're interested or whatever. Yeah, he was super receptive, and then, like, 2 days later, he was like, do you just want it? And I was like, do you want to take it?
It's like, life is happening to me. Can I just give this to you?
Yeah, and I was like, yes. So...
Cool.
That's awesome, man. Mm-hmm.
Just gotta ask. 100% assertiveness.
100% assertiveness.
Put yourself out there.
Okay, we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.